In the name of God, Creator, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I love this image on our bulletin cover today. Isn't it wonderful? For me, it's an image, a symbol of peace. It's on the move, colorful. It can't be described. And it's fun. This is what it is to be an energy field. I've been bringing that one to you for a little while now, right? It's not just about going to church. It's about participating in the energy field. Spiritual depths moving through us and beyond. That's what congregational life is about. This image kind of captures it. Just, where's it going? It's beautiful. There are many paths to God. We know that. Today we are taking the pancake path. Yes, we are. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Especially for the cooks. Amen. Woohoo! Now, I'm completely serious about this. You need to know that it is the heart of the Christian tradition to teach about eating your way into heaven. It's all about munching and crunching. Absolutely. In fact, it's one of the favorite parallels is to say that spiritual intimacy and wisdom is just like eating food. Because when wisdom comes to you, the first thing you have to do is to be open to it, right? Ooh, where's that teaching going? Right? And then you got to taste it. Otherwise, you'll never have a clue as to what it's about. Then you savor it for a little while. Maybe there's something here. But it's also possible that you can't swallow it. You chew on it for a while. I don't think so. And sometimes some of the greatest spiritual teachings are things which we just can't stomach. Mercy for all. Please. Please, let's get real, right? But if you give it time, you can start to digest it. And eventually, it works its way into our own bloodstream and changes who we are and how we see this world. And it pervades everything. The second aspect of food and spiritual wisdom, Jesus simply said, feed everybody. That's the gospel. Feed everybody. The whole of the Gospels is just Jesus moving from one food event to the next. Sometimes they're dinners. Sometimes they're parties. Sometimes he invites the friends over and says, let's have a little intimate occasion with 4,000 or 5,000 of my closest friends. Bring them in. Wow. Yeah. Our Hindu friends have a wonderful teaching called the five sheaths. Okay, the five sheaths, five levels of reality. And they work from outer to inner. And they can be about persons or about whole communities. So the first sheath, the outer one, is eating and housing and clothing. And the second one is energy, work that we do to sustain, to support, to care for each other. The third is the mind and the memory. And this is where we start to tell our stories to each other. Our views, our news, our lives. But the fourth is when it deepens and we start to share our truths and what we have experienced, our vulnerabilities, our dreams, our visions, our secrets, and our spiritual longing. And when that starts to happen, whether it's between two people, or a group or in a small community, when that starts to happen, then joy breaks out. Just at the place where you thought it should be most miserable, because if you only knew the pains and what I've suffered and been through, and the other person says, really? And joy, happiness, Even bliss can happen. And they make people feel lighter, don't they? Freer. It's good to be alive. And some people even start dancing. Even if they can't dance well, I'm happy. It's wonderful. But there is a problem. Full disclosure, there is a problem. And that is with happiness and joy, you can't contain them. You know, it's impossible to keep them under control, so it starts to permeate not only your life, but then your family and your friends and your values and your ideas and what you want to learn and your creative impulses. And, well, it just keeps moving to invade even things like politics. Isn't that wild? It doesn't stop. It has to be on the move, because when we decide to shape our lives and our community according to the meanings of who we are and what matters to us, it changes everything. Now, I can guarantee you, if you've not had this experience, that that will also lead to clashes and conflicts and struggles, doesn't it? But how else do you want to live? Like one of the anonymous automatons? You can't change the world. People just love to say that, don't they? In the interest of going forward, I'd like to say, you can't change the world. Oh, there's a real defeatist attitude, isn't it? It's not what we're talking about, though, as people of faith. What we're talking about is our calling is to present what we have. It is to present who we are. Like the child who offered a few loaves and fishes to Jesus, who took them and multiplied them in that energy field far beyond what the child could give. But even Jesus can't work with nothing. We have to offer who we are. And that's why enlightenment and ethical choices belong together. Religion's always trying to separate them out, isn't it? But transcendence, spiritual awareness, transcendence and transformation of society are not separate. They belong together. They're part of this continuum, that energy field. It's permeating everything. Which is why Jesus' story in the gospel today hits us so hard. It knocks the wind out of us, doesn't it? When he praises the greedy. Can I get an amen? That's in the Bible. He says, if the greedy and the narrow-minded and the selfish can figure it out to make money, that tainted little thing, work for them to their own advantage, why can't we, the children of light, be as sharp and as astute in living our lives with the things that really matter? Sharp as serpents, gentle as doves. How's that for a homework assignment? The Eucharist simply says, feed them all. It doesn't say, get it all. You'll have it all. It says, feed them all. There's always enough for everyone's needs. There's never enough for anyone's greed. Perhaps you saw the vote in the House this week to decimate the SNAP program, formerly known as food stamps. Let's cut and crush and punish the working poor, working two and three jobs. Crush their children. 5 million children in this country go to bed starving in the U.S. This is not third in the U.S. Let's cut the disabled. Let's crush the elderly, and especially our veterans. That's so patriotic, isn't it? And a lot of these are religious people pushing this stuff. And what do you think the prophet Amos would have to say to them today? Jesus reverses everything. It's not domination, it's communion. That's where life is at. He never takes food from anyone. He only gives himself as food. Everyone. Taste and see.